The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó, resucitó, Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó, resucitó, Cristo resucitó, Cristo resucitó,
aleluya, Cristo resucitó.
Please be seated. My life goes on in endless song, above earth's lamentations. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
As St. Chrysostom, the preacher so gifted as to be known as Golden Mouth. We should be so lucky, right? Is to have said, it is time for first to come, or you who came after to come now and collect your wages. It is time for rich and poor to sing and dance together. You that are hard on yourselves, you that are easy, celebrate this day. You that have fasted and you that have not, make merry today. My brothers and sisters, perhaps here more than anywhere else I have served, you understand the value of music, of all music, but especially singing. The birds this very morning may have been singing loud and strong as if they were calling each other and to us this very day. And lo, all those years ago, outside the tomb, those birds were singing too. We love our singing. We love our songs. We love our singers. And we are so blessed here, are we not? We have Peyton and Sarah and Tao and David, and Lord of all mercies, we have Leonard. And we have this choir. Dedicated as they are with heart and soul. And we have you. Listen to you singing today. In this place and during these times we have together, indeed, how can we keep from singing? We are hearing today the story of the discovery of the empty tomb by two Marys. You know, Mary of Magdala and the other one. They find the tomb empty, and they are told to tell everyone to not be afraid, that everyone should go to Galilee and that Jesus will meet them there. I wonder how hard that must have been to hear. Jesus, who has suffered one of the worst deaths ever devised by the twisted human mind, is no longer here. He'll catch up you later in Galilee. And further, how about all those graves that were opened all over town after the resurrection and the many of God's saints, an early generic term you remember for Christians, who were raised from sleep and coming out of their graves after his resurrection and entered into the holy city? How about all that? How about all that? The Pharisees, those most maligned of believers, believed in life after death. They would have found these resurrection narratives, shall we say, somewhat less surprising than we here in this 21st century. I don't know how you're feeling about all this just now. Personally, I have some questions. But perhaps we can have a Bible study about these and other issues surrounding all these narratives later. For now, I want to share with you what I have been pondering for some extended time, maybe years. And it has to do with this resurrection narrative. And as much as I know in my heart that within the mysteries of God's actions on earth, that among those mysteries are the nature and substance of the raising of Jesus, this story tells how God raised up a people. This story tells how God raised up the people of God from the grips of fear and anguish and suffering. I believe that God did not do what God did, or if you wish, did Jesus do what Jesus did for himself alone? God, in the actions of Jesus, did what God did for the people of God. Again, as Chrysostom is to have said to the people, no more apologizing for your poverty. The kingdom belongs to us all. No more bewailing your failings. Forgiveness has come from the grave. No more fears of your dying. The death of our Savior has freed us from fear. Death played the master, but he has mastered death. The question for me has been, how did the people who did not directly encounter the risen Jesus get such a message as this from the events in that tidal wave that we call the Passion narrative? Well, it's a good thing that you're seated. I happen to believe that one way this message was imparted to us all came through the message of song. I believe that when Jesus, from within the excruciating, the indescribable pain, uttered, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe that maybe Jesus was attempting to call to the minds and hearts of those persons present, those persons from the Pharisaic and other Judean traditions whose history and spiritual center would have included the reading of Scripture and the singing of psalms. I believe that Jesus was attempting to call to the minds and hearts of people a psalm that they perhaps all knew by heart. Psalm 22. Many of those people gathered around that cross would have sung that song, Psalm 22, many, many times during the course of their lives, in their liturgy and in their times of trouble. I believe that Jesus was attempting out of his pain and suffering to give something important to the people, to communicate something important to the people. The phrase that Jesus sang from the cross was the insipid, a short phrase by which the entire piece is known. from customs dating back into the most ancient of days in written languages across the whole of the ancient Near East, the insipid. Just as if I sang to you, "The Lord is my shepherd," the rest of Psalm 23 would come to mind. Or if I sang, "Our Father who art in heaven," you would immediately know this is the Lord's Prayer and join with me for the rest of it thereafter. Jesus was singing perhaps the only words that he had the strength to utter, if you can imagine the effort that it must have taken as he slowly suffocated up there on that cross. And some of the people, maybe not all, some of the people would have known instantly, or to some it may have occurred later, Psalm 22, that's Psalm 22. And once heard, the message would have spread like wildfire across the world. Jesus, in an act of heroism beyond anything I can imagine, at that moment gave to the people something that could raise them up with him, raise us up with him. Psalm 22 is actually a paean of faith. Psalm 22 is ultimately a hymn of praise for God. And hearing those words, even if not initially understood, he is calling Elijah, remember some said? Would have been, must have been, an inspiration to all those in that crowd arrayed before him who were keeping the weight of their own pain held in silence in the face of the horror of that day. Here was a human being facing impending death by what may be the single worst torture and murder ever devised by humankind, trying through it all to demonstrate that nothing whatsoever can come between God and you, between God and each of us. In the hour of his death, Jesus, our beloved Jesus, was still trying to minister to the people of God. He was still trying to be faithful to his people and to God. He was still trying to bring his people with him, to care for them, to love them. And in the midst of all this, to give them hope. Again from Chrysostom, Isaiah knew this would happen. And he cried, "Death was angered when it met you in the pit. It was angered, for it was defeated. It was angered, for it was mocked. It was angered, for it was abolished. It was angered, for it was overthrown. It was angered, for it was bound in chains." For a people bound in their own chains, this message would have raised them up. And it took so much courage for Jesus to give them that message. This is getting close to heterodox. If Jesus had not already been the Son of God, at this moment he certainly became so. In the death of this man, Jesus, in the death that no one on this earth could have possibly deserved, the agency of God passed to him, and through his agency to us, the people of God. And as much as I know it was about the raising up of Jesus from the cruel death of the cross, I believe now that the actions in the death of Jesus raised up the people of God from the grips of their death-like existence in the days when Jesus lived, and it remains so for us 2,000 years later. The message then declared in the final breaths of Jesus might be this, and I quote from Psalm 22, "For God did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. God did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear God. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek God shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all of the families of the nations shall worship before God, for the dominion belongs to the Lord. God rules over the nations. To God indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before God shall bow down all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for God. Posterity will serve God. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that God has done it. How can I keep from singing? Chrysostom again. The meal is ready. Come and enjoy it. The calf is a fat one. You will not go away hungry. There is hospitality for all and to spare. No more apologizing for your poverty. The kingdom belongs to us all. No more bewailing your failings. Forgiveness has come from the grave. No more fears of your dying. The death of our Savior has freed us from fear. Death played the master, but Jesus has mastered death. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since Lord is love of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.